False worship. Is it the southern or the northern? Northern. The next time I come back into this pulpit on a Sunday, I will take you through the remaining kings of Judah, and then the following Sunday, summarize the whole lot of kings of Israel and Judah, and trace the terribleness of our sinfulness, because that's the picture that emerges from these books. Because it's a long passage, chapter 14, 15, and 17, we'll deal with it section by section. We start with chapter 14, verse 15, to chapter 17, verse 6. And the first king we notice from the remaining kings of Israel is this king who is mentioned in verse 15 of chapter 14. And I'm reading from 2 Kings 14 verses 15 to 29. It says, now the rest of the acts of Jehoash, which he did, and his might, and how he fought with Amaziah, king of Judah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Jehoash slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel. And Jeroboam, this has to be Jeroboam the second, because there was a Jeroboam who was the first king of Israel. He's Jeroboam the first. This is the second Jeroboam in Israel. The son of Jehoash. Jump to verse 23. In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Jehoash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, became king in Samaria and reigned 41 years. That's a long time to reign. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that first king of Israel, Jeroboam the first, which he made Israel sin. He restored the border of Israel from the entrance of Hamath as far as the Sea of Arabah, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke through his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who was of Gath-Hepher. For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, which was very bitter, for there was neither bond nor free, nor was there any helper for Israel. The Lord did not say that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam the second, the son of Joash. Now the rest of the acts, etc., are they written in the book of Chronicles? And he dies. What's the story of Jeroboam the second? 41 years of idol worship. Worshipping golden calves, which his ancestor Jeroboam the first, when he took over as king of Israel, established, because Jeroboam the first of Israel thought, if I don't make these idols, my people of my nation Israel, with a capital in Samaria, would want to worship God, and they would go to Jerusalem, to the temple. So to wean them away from the temple in Jerusalem and the worship of the one true God, which would lead them to go back in allegiance to the king of Judah, I must keep them. And to keep them, I better make gods for them to worship. And say, these golden calves are the gods that brought you out of Egypt and delivered you. And the people did it. If you ask me the question why, it's the same as why do you do what you do? Why do you do wrong things? Even when you know they are wrong. Why? It's not just that you have a sin nature. It all boils down to that, right? If you're not saved. But what about believers who have Christ's nature in them? Why do believers do wrong? Is it because you haven't settled in your mind once and for all that you are done with sin? In the midst of Jeroboam's evil idol worship, false worship, we have these words from verse 25 to 27. That in spite of Jeroboam II being an evil idol worshiper, and remember, you become like the idols you worship. You worship Hanuman, you become like Hanuman. You worship Jesus Christ, you become like Jesus Christ. You worship whoever you worship, you become like the God you worship. In spite of that, God never forgot his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he used Jeroboam II to restore the borders of Israel all across. And he had prophesied this by that prophet who had been swallowed by the big fish. Not the whale, but the big fish. Jonah of Amittai. Why? Because look at verse 26. See how gracious God is. He saw the affliction. The word affliction means high pressure, distress, very, very unbearable suffering that torments the victim. It's intolerable. You feel like dying. That's how horrible it is. That's affliction. And the Lord saw that it was very bitter. And God can take you through that kind of very bitter experience. But there was neither bond nor free. Everyone was suffering. And there was no helper for Israel. Nobody there. You know, the old slaves in the south of America, they suffered like this. They were bought and sold like animals. And they made many, many songs. And as a schoolboy, we learned this, these songs, not the spirituals only, but those songs of the old slaves in the deep south of America, who had no hope. They would be brought in ships, offloaded, and sold in the markets of slaves, and then work as laborers with no hope. one of them wrote this song. Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. It's a spiritual. Nobody knows but Jesus. And God cared for Israel. And he helped them. Because the Lord did not say he will blot out Israel. He would just punish the evil doers. We move on, chapter 15, 8 to 12, to the next king who remains to rule in Israel, Zechariah, verse 8 of chapter 15, in the 38th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Zechariah the son of Jeroboam became king over Israel in Samaria for 6 months. After 41 years of his father's reign, Jeroboam the second, Zechariah the son ruled only 6 months. And what did he do? He did evil in the sight of the Lord as his fathers had done. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin. Then Shallum the son of Jabesh conspired against him, struck him before the people and killed him and reigned in his place. Verse 12, this is the word of the Lord which he spoke to Jehu, saying, your sons to the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel. That's for the next king. 6 months of Zechariah's reign. What does he do? Just continues in worshipping golden calves instead of the God of his fathers, Jehovah, the invisible God. Verse 13 to 15 of chapter 15, Shallum is the next. He became king in the 39th year of Uzziah, king of Judah. You will come across Uzziah in the 6th chapter of Isaiah. When he died, Isaiah was so broken that he went into God's temple to seek an answer. Because Uzziah of Judah was a good king. And he had reigned a long time. And Isaiah served under and in the courts of Uzziah. But we have Shallum. He reigned 1 month. His father had reigned six. His previous king had reigned six, and now Shallum, who's a descendant of Jehu, reigns 1 month. And he's killed. He kills the previous king, now he's killed. But what does he do? He also continues in the same false worship. And we go to Menahem, verses 16 to 22. If you look at Menahem, he's not only an evil idol worshiper, but he is ruthless. He rips up pregnant women. And he also gave taxes to Pul, the king of Assyria, so that he could continue reigning in Israel. But he didn't give his own money. He just taxes his people. Puts heavy loads on them. So that he can retain his power. He's just a power hungry tyrant. 16 to 22. Verse 17. Verse 16. Then Menahem struck Tibshah and all who were in it and its borders from Tirzah, because they did not open to him. Therefore he struck it and ripped up all its women who were with child. And then Azariah, king of Judah, is in his 39th year when Menahem became king over Israel, reigning 10 years in Samaria, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart all his days from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel to sin. Pul, king of Assyria, came against the land, and Menahem gave Pul 1,000 talents of silver so that his hand might be with him to strengthen the kingdom under his rule. And then Menahem exacted the money from Israel, even all the mighty men of wealth, from each man 50 shekels of silver to pay the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria returned and did not remain there in the land. And so he dies. And Pekahiah, his son, became king in his place. What about Pekahiah? 23 to 26. Verse 24, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin. And so, his officer, Pekah, conspired against him, struck him, and killed him, and became king. Pekah, verse 27 to 31, like previous kings, he compromises. But see how he does that. Verse 37 to 31. In the 52nd year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekah, the son of Remaliah, became king over Israel, reigned 20 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin. In the days of Pekah, king of Israel, Tiglath-Pileser. I hope you're going with me in the word of God. Okay? King of Assyria came and captured Ijon and Abel-Beth-Maachah and Janoah and Kadesh and Hazor and Gilead and Galilee and all the land of Naphtali. And he carried them captive to Assyria. And then Hosea, the son of Elah, made a conspiracy against Pekah and kills him. So this is the first active strike by the king of Assyria that is combined with the carrying away of captives from Israel to Assyria. God is patient, but not forever. And what happens now? There's one king after another. This is the tail end of Israel. They're all sinning in false worship. And God strikes. God is patient, but not forever. He now lets Israel get decimated. It's broken up. There is no one to help Israel. God helps Israel. But then he lets Israel get attacked and captured, and captives are taken away to Assyria. And so we have the last king of this nation called Israel. 10 tribes of Israel. And see what happens. Chapter 17, verses 1 to 6. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, Hoshea, the son of Elah, became king over Israel in Samaria and reigned 9 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, not only as the kings of Israel who were before him, only not as the kings of Israel who were before him. Now it's not Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria, but Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, who comes against him, and Hoshea became his servant and paid tribute to whom? To Assyria. That's not all. Read on. But the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea. He was a manipulator and a schemer and a traitor. He agreed with the king of Assyria, let me go, don't kill me, I'll pay tribute and I'll serve you. But he schemes behind the back of this king of Assyria and he sends to Egypt. The king of Egypt is called So. Verse 4, and offered no tribute to the king of Assyria as he had done year by year. So the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. So there is Hosea, king of Israel, no longer even a vassal king to Assyria, but he's a prisoner. He's just a criminal. From palace to prison is the title of his biography. Then the king of Assyria, verse 6, invaded the whole land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. Can you imagine being surrounded for 3 years? Go back to your history lessons in school and think of all the battles that were fought, even in India. Sivaji and the Mughals and remember all those battles? How they would besiege a city and then cut off all water supply, cut off all food supplies, and what would happen? People will have no water and no food. And they would surrender. In the 9th year of Hosea, verse 6 of chapter 17, the king of Assyria captured Samaria and carried Israel away into exile to Syria and settled them in Hala and Habor on the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. That's the final king. This is the end of Israel as a nation. Israel as a nation at this point would be so decimated it would lose its identity. And so even today we have conspiracy theories and some people who are still searching for the lost 10 tribes of Israel. And then there are cults that say they are part of those 10 tribes of Israel. One such cult was the Herbert W. Armstrong Worldwide Church of God. If you have Bibles like me that don't have notes but subpoints, verse 7 of chapter 17 has a little point there. In bold letters, why Israel fell. The reasons for the fall of Israel. And we're considering that the consequences of false worship to Israel. What are the consequences to Israel? What happened to Israel and why? First of all, verses 7 to 18, the reason for the destruction of Israel. And remember when Israel was destroyed, it was God allowing Israel to be destroyed by a nation that didn't believe in God. He used a non-God-fearing nation called Assyria to decimate the 10 tribes of Israel. Why? What and why? First of all, look at verse 7 and 8. And you see amalgamation with the nations. Amalgamation with the nations. 7 and 8. Now this came about because the sons of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God. That's it. You sin against the Lord your God, you are going to suffer the consequences. And here the consequences are not divorced from punishment. God is going to punish the sinner. There is no debate about this in the Bible. God has wrath. Romans chapter 1 verse 18. The wrath of God is upon all ungodliness and wickedness of men. Why? Verse 18 tells you they exchanged the glory of the invisible God and made images. That's it. And you must never forget that about the first thing God did when he called people to belong to him was he gave them the Ten Commandments. Amen. And in the Ten Commandments, what's the first commandment? You better believe that. You shall not have any God besides me. If you have any other gods beside me, I'm not going to be anything but angry with you. About the first thing I did when I became a disciple of Jesus Christ, I went back home. And I looked at all the pictures that my dad had put up in my home of Jesus and Mary and whoever else. I was so upset because I was studying the Bible and it was very clear. I can't sit in a room with images of God. I tore it up. My dad came home. He said, what have you done? I said, the Bible says you cannot have these things. He agreed and we lived in peace on that subject. You just can't do it. People come to me and say, we're having a memorial for our loved one. And they give me these holy cards, right? With the saint's picture. Say, I can't accept it. I'm sorry. That's idol worship. The Bible forbids it. God gets angry. He says, you shall not make any image of any likeness in heaven above or on the earth beneath or things under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to them or worship them. Don't call them holy pictures. So we look at verse 7 and 8. And what does it say? Now this came about because the sons of Israel had sinned against the Lord, their God, who had brought them up from the land of Egypt, from the under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And they had feared other gods. Look at the words there. It ends with, they feared other gods. And you know what? The fear of the Lord and the worship of the Lord is synonymous. When you say, I come to worship you, you're really saying, I come to fear you. Please don't think of worship as some bhajan. And bhajan mandali. And some devotion only. Please don't think of worship as only saying some words of praise. Worship starts in the heart. And the heart bows low before the God you worship. Because he is your maker. And you are afraid of him. And you fear him. You're afraid of him enough to say, I cannot disobey him, right? I mean, when you walk into your office, you're afraid to mess in that office, right? How much more in the presence of Almighty God? And so they worshipped other gods and feared other gods. Look further in verse 8. And walked in the customs of the nations. Please watch that. And walked or behaved in the customs of the nations whom the Lord had driven out before the sons of Israel. And in the customs of the kings of Israel, which the kings of Israel had introduced. The customs. You know, every time I go to a tailor, he tells me, but this is the fashion. You know another word for fashion? This is the custom, right? Are you caught up in the customs of the people around you? And are you doing things maybe ignorantly, innocently, according to the customs that prevail? The popular, accepted ways of people who do not know Christ. Turn with me to Judges. The book of Judges. Joshua first. Joshua, chapter 24 and verse 31. Joshua dies. The man of God dies. Verse 31. The last chapter of Joshua. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua and had known all the deeds of the Lord which he had done for Israel. I hope you understood that verse. I'll read it again. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua and had known all the deeds of the Lord which he had done for them. That's the statement after Joshua died. Turn to Judges chapter 2. It's the same time Joshua dies. And in Judges chapter 2 verse 10. And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. That means all Joshua's generation also dies. There arose another generation after them who did not, first of all, know God. Know the Lord. Secondly, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. Another generation grew up that did not know the Lord personally. They had been hanging on to those who knew the Lord before them. The second generation. And they did not know how God works. Have no experience of God personally answering my own prayers and making me holy. I was part of the admiration club. Wow. Look at that pastor. Look at those elders. Paul Washer. John Piper. Calvin, oh, wonderful, wonderful people. They've all died. You're left alone. Whom are you following? Do you know God? And do you know how He works? Has He worked in your individual life? Can you fall back on your own experience of the workings of grace in your life so that you have great confidence that God exists? He's alive. He answers prayer. He makes you holy. He can change you. And He has changed you. Are you convinced about this? By personal proof. Don't swear falsely. Don't oppress your neighbor. Verse 13. Verse 14. You shall not curse a deaf man. Nor place a stumbling block before the blind. But you shall revere your God. I am the Lord. This is not legalism. This is not ceremonial laws. These are laws of holiness. I am the Lord. You revere by not mocking deaf and blind people. Simple things. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor defer to the great. See, you shall not even be partial to the poor or defer to the great. But you are to judge your neighbor fairly. Justice is justice, whether poor or rich, right? You shall not hate, verse 17, your fellow countrymen in your heart. Verse 23, when you enter the land and plant all kinds of trees for food, then you shall count their fruit as forbidden. 3 years it shall be forbidden to you. It shall not be eaten. You can look at that agricultural causes. In the fourth year, you shall all its fruit shall be holy. An offering of praise to the Lord in the fifth year, etc., etc. Look at verse 26. You shall not eat anything with the blood, nor practice divination or soothsaying, witchcraft. When you go to the mirror to shave or to the barber, you don't go with the customs of this world. I wonder often, as I look at some of you with long hair and then you ponytail it, and you're men. I wonder why. Are you doing it for Jesus' sake, for your sake? When you have these cuts in your hair, you know, how many? Terrific designs. Wow. Why do you do it? It's all about customs. If I'm stepping on your toes, I mean to. Verse 28, you shall not make any cuts in your body for the dead or make any tattoo marks on yourself. I am the Lord. See, God says about tattooing also. I am the Lord. He's talking about fashions, he's talking about styles, he's talking about marks on your body. Verse 31. You shall not turn to mediums or spiritists. Do not seek them out to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged. Why? Because you shall revere your God. I am the Lord. In the simple things, You know, I used to think that it was my school principal, Mr. Lun, who taught me good manners. But I read through Leviticus, it teaches me what? Good manners. And I think Mr. Lun, my school principal, whether he knew it or not, he had been influenced by the teaching of the Bible. God is concerned about even the petty things, the nitty-gritty things of your life. Why do you do these things? Do you do it because you worship the Lord? Or do you do it to be a hero? I was at a recent wedding, Christian wedding. And the Christian part of the wedding was only the service, right? The rest of it was, you could compare it to going to any wedding. And does anyone care that we let down our high standards? The book of Leviticus was given to the people of God to show them that they have to, however inconvenient it is, demonstrate separateness from the people of this world. And there was no excuse. Go back to 2 Kings in chapter 17. And do you see the reason? Verse 8, 17 verse 8. And walked in the customs of the nations whom the Lord had driven out before the sons of Israel, and in the custom of the kings. Besides this, verse 9 to 11. Indulging in idol worship. The sons of Israel did things secretly, which were not right against the Lord their God. Moreover, they built for themselves high places in all their towns, from watchtower to fortified city. They set for themselves sacred pillars and asherim on every high hill and under every green tree. And they burned incense on all the high places as the nations did, which the Lord had carried away to exile before them. And they did evil things. And what are the words following that? You see it in the Bible. Provoking the Lord. You are provoking the Lord. You are challenging the Lord. You are defying the Lord. They served idols, verse 12, concerning which the Lord had said to them, you shall not do this thing. It's 13 to 16, what are they doing? They're abandoning the commandments of the Lord. 13 to 16, yet the Lord warned Israel and Judah through all his prophets and every seer. Seer is another word for prophets, one who sees clearly what God wants and tells people. Turn from your evil ways. Keep my commandments, my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you through my servants, the prophets. How many times have you heard messages from God and you just don't care? However, verse 14, they did not listen, but stiffened their neck. Like their fathers, who did not believe in the Lord their God, they rejected his statutes and his covenant which he made with their fathers, and his warnings with which he warned them, and they followed vanity and became vain. Underline that. They followed vanity. You know what vanity is? Useless stuff. You know, all your styles, all your tattoos, all your pagan worship, all your idols, all your stuff. That is after the fashion of this world is vanity. It's vanity. Only that which pleases the Lord abides forever. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, 16, 17. What does it say? 1 John chapter 2, 15, 16, 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, its vanity. But he who does the will of my Father abides forever. And then practicing witchcraft and black magic. It happens. When I was a young boy, I didn't know Christ. But my dad, the first time I had jaundice, hepatitis, he went to some baba and he bought this thread, right, with sticks. And I wore it. And as the jaundice went away, the necklace of these magic threads that had been prayed over by a baba would loosen up. And I was told that actually it's the reverse of what I said. It's not my jaundice reducing and the strings loosening up, but the strings loosening up reduces my jaundice. What did my mom do as a child? She would take salt. Nazar kaadaycha na. And she would go over my body three times, spit on it and throw it in the fire. And sometimes she had camphor or something like that. And then take it out, right, and look at it. Or a black spot here or wherever. Or a black thread. Or a taweez. I mean, are we familiar with these things? You know what God feels about all this? He's angry. And he says, depart from this. 17 and 18. They made their sons and their daughters pass through the fire. They practiced divination and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him. Verse 18. Read it with me in your minds. Read it. The Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his sight. None was left except the tribe of Judah. He totally finished that nation of Israel. Verses 19 to 23 tells you the influence that they even had over their cousins in Judah. Verse 19, the Lord, also Judah did not keep the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the customs which Israel had introduced. The Lord rejected all the descendants of Israel and afflicted them and gave them into the hand of plunderers until he had cast them out of his sight. When he had torn Israel from the house of David, they made Jeroboam, son of Nebat, king. Then Jeroboam drove Israel away from following the Lord and made them commit a great sin. The sons of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam. They did not depart from them until the Lord removed Israel from his sight. As he spoke through all his servants, the prophets, so Israel was carried away into exile from their own land to Assyria until this day. Corruption or false worship in Israel. You know what Assyria does? The king of Assyria brings his people and puts them in Israel. He takes the Israelites as captives to his nation. Now he brings the Assyrians to Israel and see what happens. First, verse 24. The king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cuthah and from Awa and all the other places and settled them in the cities of Samaria in place of the sons of Israel. So they possessed Samaria and lived in its cities. So what happens? Foreigners are staying in God's land. Verse 25. At the beginning of their living there, they did not fear the Lord, Jehovah. So the Lord sent lions among them, which killed some of them. Verse 26 to 28. God will not tolerate false worship. So what happens? So they spoke to the king of Assyria saying, these nations whom you have carried away into exile in the cities of Samaria do not know the custom of the God of this land. So he sent lions among them, and behold, they killed them because they do not know the custom of the God of this land. He doesn't understand what's going on. He's just thinking, and these leaders are just thinking, oh, there is another God here, and we don't know what this God wants. So he sent lions to kill us. So the king of Assyria commanded, saying, there is one of the priests of the Israelites as a captive in Assyria. I'm sending him. Let him go and live there and let him teach them the customs of the God of the land. So one of the priests whom they had carried away into exile from Samaria came and lived in Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Wow. And you might say, wonderful. So at least there is a man of God from the true religion to teach these people. What happens? Verse 29 to 31. But every nation still made gods of its own and put them in the houses of the high places which the people of Samaria had made, every nation in their cities in which they lived. Even the men of Babylon made Sokoth Benoth, the men of Kuth made Nergal, the men of Hamath made Ashima, and the Avites made Nibaz and Tartak, and the Shepharvites burned their children in the fire to Adrammelech and Anammelech, the gods of Sepharvaim. Look at this, verse 32. They feared the Lord and appointed among themselves priests of the high places who acted for them in the houses of the high places. Verse 33, they fear the Lord and they serve their own gods according to the custom of the nations whom they had been carried away into exile. What's happening? Let's add Jesus. Let's add Jesus. But not give up our own customs, our own religion, and our own worship of false gods. And isn't that what's happening? And if it's not happening in your life, you know what's happening in your life? You have the fear of the Lord, but you also won't give up your own style. I call you to consider your ways. Let's pray. As we bow in prayer, dear Father, this is so serious that I ask you to do only what you can do and apply by your Spirit the word in such a way that there won't be one person here leaving without considering his or her way. I pray this so that you be honored and magnified through your word Turn people to yourself, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.